I read from this passage of scripture numbers of time, but I want to read a little bit tonight from the first book of Kings. Hadn't read from it in a good while. The first book of Kings, 30th verse of the 18th chapter. It's concerning the contest of Mount Carmel. Praise God. Tell you what, let's do. Let's back up to the 20th verse so that we can get the fullness of our readings here. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourself, and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them in, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servants, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariots and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This is reading quite a bit of the scripture tonight concerning 1 Kings and the life of Elijah. You notice in the reading of this, we really can see something in this if we try. Elijah, if you notice, after the contest and after God had proven himself to be the Lord. Now, first of all, I want you to observe something. The contest was for a reason. I say, what reason was it? They was trying to prove who was God. You love Jesus? I said they had the same problem that we've got today. They didn't know whether it was one God, two gods, or three gods, or ever how many gods it was. The word Baal means God of the flesh. You know what God of the flesh is? That means a conception or an idea of what you think. That's what happened in the Dark Ages. They got an idea of what God was and who he was and how many of them there was up there. That was their fleshly theory. But see, there was a contest in that day. And the contest was to prove whether or not the Lord was God. How do you believe the Lord's God? The contest was to prove that the Lord was God. And sure enough, believe it or not, the Lord, he was the God. The people said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And they suddenly realized that the Lord was God. The Lord was God, and the Lord still is God. And he said, before me there was no other God, and there's certainly not going to be another one after him. He is God. The Lord is God. When all of the ends of the earth turn to God, then everything's going to be all right. But the Lord, he is God, and there is salvation in none other name but the name of the Lord God of Israel, Jesus Christ. The Lord, he is God. A lot of times they try to make you believe that Moses saw something different up on the mountain. But really, the Bible said he saw the Lord, isn't that right? Actually, in reality, the Bible said that Moses saw the Lord. When you narrow it right down to where it's supposed to be, he saw the Lord. That was all he saw, was the Lord. He never saw the great eternal spirit. I brought this out a number of times. The Bible tells us that God is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen, nor can see. And God, the great light that cannot be seen, even scientists say that you cannot see light. God, the great light that cannot be seen, has personified himself in a human body that's called the Lord. And the name of that human body is Jesus the Christ. And salvation is in none other name. If God is the great eternal spirit and God is the great light and God has personified himself in the body of Jesus, then it stands the reason that no man can get to that spirit except he goes to that body. And that body has been slain as a blood atonement, and we've got to go through that body to get to that spirit. And you and I realize that we can't walk through a human body. So then the only way that we can get to him is to get into the spirit of Christ, which is the word of God, and go through the name of the Son of God to get into the great Holy Spirit of life. That's why Jesus kept saying that my words are spirit and my words are life. That's what we need to do. Is to learn to get into the Spirit. Is that right? I'm going to take just a minute here. I'd like to slip my coat off. And I'm going to spend just a few minutes with you. And after that, we're going to let you go. How have you got just a few minutes for the Word tonight? I'll try not to keep you long. But I want to talk with you just a few minutes. Now, here in this story, there is a lot to be observed. First of all, if we look real close, we get an idea of what God is and how God operates. You know, while we're under the days of grace, we can't tell too much just exactly the way that God operates. Now, we can't tell just exactly how that God operates because God allows the wicked to continue on. Is that right? But anyway, notice this, that after the contest, That wasn't sufficient. Just the contest alone wasn't sufficient. But the thing is, the Bible said that he took them down to the brook Kishron, and there he completed the job. That's the way God is. Somebody would say, well, we're Christians and we can't do anything violent now. We're Christians, we're lamb-like. But the Bible said old Samuel took that sword and he was very lamb-like. He took that sword and he was lamb-like, and he stood down and he just hewed Agag into pieces, real lamb-like, till there wasn't nothing left of him. And he said, Agag, your sword is made mother's childless, and now your mother's going to be childless. And very lamb-like, he cut him all to pieces. Somebody say, I love Jesus. See, the Bible said, I shall in no wise acquit the wicked. When God passed by Moses on the mount, God told Moses some things. And one of the things that God told Moses said, I will not justify the wicked. I shall in no wise justify the wicked. So then God said to Samuel, Samuel, cut him into pieces. And so he cut him into pieces. And old brother Elijah, he had a contest. He didn't try to pluck up the tares first because he knew he'd get the wheat. Because everybody was watching Jezebel and them prophets. But he had a contest and he got their confidence first. And then when he got their confidence, once he got their confidence over there by proving the power of God, then he turned around and he took that sword or whatever and he got them down to the brook Kishron, and the Bible said he finished the job. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Revelation 19, after we prove Christ to the world, we're going to come back in Revelation 19 and we're going to call the contest and we're going to finish the job. And the Bible says the blood's going to run up to the horse's bridle. Hallelujah! Glory to God, what a courageous army God's got. We're going to finish the job and get rid of the wicked. And the Bible said we'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. Glory to God. So we see them. What kind of God God really is. The only reason that we don't do it today is because this is the hour of grace. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hasn't changed at all. But the thing is, he's giving a day of grace. He's giving us a chance to repent of our sins. God wants us to repent of our sins. Wants us to put iniquity behind us. He wants to be kind to the wicked, kind to all people, to show them his love and to demonstrate his love and to let them know his great mercy, willing to suffer for them, willing to die for them, willing to do anything. But if they continue in their evil and they will not be turned away from their evil way, then God will slay the wicked. God, he said, I will slay the wicked. And God shall in no wise justify the wicked. If you are a wicked man or woman, you're going to pay for it. If you're doing things lewdly and undercover, you're going to pay for it. Everything that you do wrong, you're going to pay for it. Every thought that you have that's unlike God, that's contrary to wholesome living in Christ, you're going to pay for it. God's going to see that you pay for it. So then there's nothing to do but live for God. Let's little people, the people of little Bethlehem, let's live for God. Let's join ourselves together and forget about the world and do something for Christ. Hallelujah. Let's be a great army coming up in God, getting together in the power of God, and let the Spirit of God take hold of us as it did Elijah and do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. Elijah was the kind of person, he didn't take no for an answer. That's another good way to see what kind of God we're serving. You know, it takes a little perseverance. God, one time, he gave us a little illustration. Jesus said, I'll tell you how to get something from heaven. I'll tell you how to unlock the door of heaven. And I'll tell you how to get the answer to your prayer. And he began to tell about a judge and about a little widow. And said this judge was a great judge. And said this judge didn't fear God nor man. He'd just run back and say, I don't fear God and I don't fear man. But Jesus tells about a little widow that penetrated a shield. This little widow had something that she wanted him to do. And she went to him and she made a request. And she went to him and she made a request. And she went to him and she made a request. And he kept saying, get her away from me. Get her away from me. Get this widow away from me. I don't fear God and I don't fear man, but she's driving me crazy. Whatever she wants, do it for her. Hallelujah. Jesus said, seeing that this judge did such for the widow, how much more will God avenge the cause of them that cry day and night to him that's his elect? Gave another illustration. In this illustration, he told about a man that had some friends to come along. Didn't have anything to feed them. So he sent down to the local stores, we would say, or down to the corner. And he told the man, said, I got to have something to feed my friends. But the man wouldn't get up. He said, it's late. I'm in bed. All my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you food in the middle of the night. But the man kept saying, I need something for my friends. And the man said, but I can't. It's over tonight. But he said, I need something for my friend. And the Bible said because of his importunity that man got up. He knew he couldn't sleep. He knew his rest was gone. And finally got up and said, give it to him. And on the way he went. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Elijah, after about 3 years of drought, he said, we need some rain. But there wasn't any rain. He said, God, we need some rain. But there wasn't any rain. And he told his little servant, said, I've been praying for rain. You go up there and see if there ain't a cloud coming up somewhere. He went up there and said, nothing doing. He said, well, we'll pray again. So he prayed again. He said, I need some rain. And so the little servant went back. And the little servant went back. Now, if that had been some of us, we'd have quit, wouldn't we? Somebody said, well, we're just out of the will of God. God is going to do it anyway. But see, he didn't do that. He just kept praying and praying and praying and praying. And said the little servant, said, go back again. Finally, the little servant went back. I imagine the little servant got ashamed, don't you? Finally, after about 5 or 6 times, he probably hated to come down there and tell Elijah. Probably felt real sorry for Elijah and thought, poor old Elijah. Went down there, you know, he probably thought, poor Elijah. This is one time he's really going to be disappointed. Probably went down there and feeling real sorry and kind of embarrassed. And Elijah said, well, what about it? Ain't a thing up there, Elijah. Elijah said, you go back up there. Hallelujah. Glory to God, it didn't discourage Elijah one bit. It didn't make him change his mind one bit. He wasn't worried about it one bit. He said, go back again. It's going to rain. Hallelujah. It's going to rain. That's the kind of attitude the church needs. We've got to take that kind of attitude. It's going to rain. When God says it's going to rain, it's going to rain. It don't make any difference what anybody says. It doesn't make any difference whether there's a cloud in the sky or not. If God said it's going to rain, it's going to rain. If it has to rain without the clouds, it's going to rain. All right, so then that's the way it ought to be. You know, we ought to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Not look at the enemy, not look at the multitude, not look at the size of the giant, but encourage ourselves in Jesus. We ought to stand together as men and women, as an army of God. Here at Little Bethlehem, we ought to be one unit. Not only here, but anywhere in the world where we're Christians. We ought to be one unit. Standing together for Christ's sake. We ought to be together. Ought to be working together. Ought to be a unit. Ought to not be taking each other apart, not finding fault with each other. It's no good if a brother goes over here and he tears me apart and I go over here and I tear him apart. The thing to do if one of us is a rascal, then let's all the others get together and put him out. Get rid of him. Purge off the old leaven and be your new lump. But if the man's right, let's get together and strengthen him. Hold his hand, walk hand in hand. All right, somebody say I love Jesus. So then we ought to be a great army. We ought to be a great unit coming together to do something for God. I stand here tonight as somebody to testify in your behalf to try to encourage you. Look at the perseverance of these people. Look at the perseverance of Elijah. He never quit. He just kept praying. He never considered circumstances. He just kept praying. When Peter bounced out of the ship on the water, momentarily, he never considered circumstances. He just considered the word of God. Christ had said, Peter, come out here where I'm at. Peter bounced over the bow the ship, and down on the water he went. He never considered circumstances, never considered the raging of the sea, but he just jumped out there by faith. That's what we ought to do. The very moment that Peter considered circumstances, he got his mind off of the Word. He got his mind away from Christ. He got his mind away from the command of God. And the first news you know, he was sinking in despair, crying, God, have mercy on me. Have you understand what I'm saying? I believe that if a man will take faith, not consider circumstances, but take faith, stand on it, stand like a rock, that God will meet him every time. I've never had God to fail me one time. I've never stepped out on a limb yet that God let break out from under me. Every time that I've ever went God's way, done God's thing, it always worked out the same way. But I had to be sure it was God. I had to be sure it was God's way, not just a wild gesture, not something that was just impulsive from the flesh, not some foolish desire to find ambition or find popularity, to get money and prestige, but really know that it was God, that it was the benefit of God's kingdom, that it was for God's people, and that God would see it through. And he always has. So then, perseverance. Some of us don't have enough perseverance to stand up in the face of just a little wind. A little wind, a little contrary wind of doctrine. The Bible said we're just blown about by every direction, every way. Somebody can come over and say, Brother Taylor, Brother Lyman, Brother Michael, oh, Brother such and such said such and such about you. And some of the brethren, the first thing they do, they swell up like an old toad and say, hell no, that's the way he felt about me. I said, all right, I'll get him. Is that right? And from that very time, he pulled out his sword and he starts whetting it. Going to show him the love of God. Amen. But the Bible said they will not pierce their brother through. These people that I'm speaking of, they won't pierce each other through. But they'll march as mighty men. Mighty men, where is the love of God? My brother, where is the love of God? Where is the love of God? We're supposed to love one another. The Bible said that these won't break ranks. You know, one of us contractors get out there and somebody don't do the way that we think he ought to do and we excommunicate him. He comes along and he says, I need a job. No, I'm all filled up. I don't need you. He goes to somebody else. No, I don't need you. I'm all filled up. He's filled up all right, but he's filled up with the devil. That's what's wrong with him. He needs somebody, but he isn't going to bow down. He isn't going to bend to give somebody else a chance. That's the way it is. Why? Because they crossed his grain somehow or another. That's what happened to him. But brother, let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you do cross my grain. You're still my brother. Maybe I need my grain crossed. That's the only way that I never get straightened out is somebody cross my grain. If my grain ain't running right, I need to change it around. We need to be brothers. We need to thank God for reproof. We need to thank God for correction. We need to go to our brother when we see him in fault. Take the word of God to him. Don't go running out there with our ideas and our feelings and what we think about it. But tell our brother just like it is according to the word. Tell him in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we be tempted also. If we go out there with the wrong spirit, then it doesn't make any difference if he is in fault. The first news you know, we're the ones that go down the drain. All right. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Old Elijah, he had the right idea. He knew what God wanted. He had done stayed with God. He had done fasted and prayed and got the mind of God. He knew just exactly what to do. So then God used him. God kept his hands upon him. God never took him out of the world until he began to grow weary. When he began to grow weary, God took him out of the world. Isn't that right? Long as he stood up like a man, long as he stood in, up courageously, long as he stood in power and perseverance, God stood with him. When he started running from Jezebel, started hiding off in the cave, started to moaning and saying, Lord, you better let me die. I'm the only prophet that's left. You better let me die. They killed all the rest of them. You just better let me die. And the Lord knew it was time to take old brother Elijah on home. He's about to get weary and well-doing, wasn't he? He got so beside himself, I don't think he even realized that God sent the angel down there to bake him a cake. He just got up and ate it and went back to bed. They baked him another and he got up and ate that. And I don't know whether he ever realized the angel come or not. He had done got so beside himself, you know, mourning and going on. Isn't that right? It's like Brother Branham, a great prophet of God. He got to crying and pleading for God to take him home. God took him home. Elijah got to pleading for God to take him home. God took him home. Isn't that right? So then he began to get weary. Moses began to say to God, I can't be a nursemaid to all these people. God took him on home. But what we need to do is like the eagle, spread our wings. Hallelujah. When the storm comes, spread them wings. Glory to God, and don't take a nosedive. Throw that head up in the wind and throw those wings back. Ride the winds, hallelujah. Rise to greater heights with God. Stand up for Christ. Do something for God and for his cause and for his people. Hallelujah. Well, Elijah began to get weary. God said, what are you doing over here, Elijah? I'm jealous for the Lord God's sake, he said. Ain't no more prophets but me. And somebody said, well, how it goes, that one and only prophet, you know. Ain't no more prophets but me. Somebody said, oh, there's plenty of prophets in that day. Well, Elijah got the big head, somebody said. No more prophets. Mine's a lot of prophets, somebody said. 7,000 of them. The Bible didn't say that at all. It didn't say there was another prophet. Didn't say there was another around anywhere. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said it didn't say there was another prophet around anywhere. Amen. It did say there was 7,000 that had never bowed their knees to Baal, which was Christian people of that hour. But it didn't say anything about another prophet. Hallelujah. Old brother Elijah said, what are you doing out here? Praise God. Elijah was looking for God. Jezebel was after him. Jezebel was on his trail. How many of those old flesh is Jezebel? Amen. You get the tuck head. You get weak in faith. You get away from your pastor like some of you's doing. Let somebody come over to your house and visit. The Bible said a little bird will tell the matter. Amen. Let somebody come to visit with him. First, did you know they've indoctrinated you? Now that brother said, now how did he know that? Isn't that amazing how I knew that? Let somebody come over and talk with you a little bit. Indoctrinate you in the first news you know. A wind of doctrine's got you. Your mind's all flooded up. You've gone the wrong direction. Praise God. You know they say that a sheep, if he's sick, he'll wander off and leave his shepherd. But if he's not sick, he'll stay in there with his shepherd. He'll follow that shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I ought to follow a man? The Bible said it's not a man speaking, but God. Said it's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The Lord is God. Follow that shepherd. Hallelujah. Follow the voice of the Lord. Go with the shepherd. Wherever he leadeth me, I will follow. Follow him step by step. Take hold of his arm, like I said this morning. The way that Ruth clave to Naomi, take hold of it. Hold on to it. Be a real power of perseverance and keep on moving for God. Hallelujah. And don't let that old mind, that old clouded doubt come. You know, you get clouded up with clouds that causes a storm up there. You get out in the wrong place and then there's trouble. But push that on out. Don't do that. Just get up, you know, in the presence of God. Let a beautiful white cloud come over you of the Holy Spirit in the mind of Christ. Let that thing begin to water the garden. Water the fruits of your ground. Nourish you that you can grow up into the fullness of God. Just keep on keeping on. Stand like a rock. When the winds blow, when the trouble comes, when the heartaches come, somebody comes beating on your door and they say, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. And those thoughts begin to pound your mind. Those things begin to talk to you. You just sit there and when they get through, say, brother, Let me tell you something. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Them's my brothers. Then you need to go to the brotherhood and sit down with them and get this thing straightened out. Somebody get an old melancholy spirit, wander off out here and won't come to the brotherhood, won't get straightened out, get melancholy and drag around and sit around and in the home and on the job and wherever they can get a little group together out there and just talking and going on and moaning and whining and everybody's down on them when that ain't it at all. That's not what it is. Since when did the body of Christ ever get down on anybody? The Bible said the preparation of man's heart's from God. If God's got them brethren thinking like that, there's reason for it. You know what the problem is? Come on now. Everybody thinks they're Elijah. That's right, ain't but one of me. I'm going to prophesy against all of y'all. Amen. You just wait till I get my pocketbook full. Show you how strong I am and how much I can believe. Come on now. Everybody's a Micah. You know, they got to prophesy against God's people. But it's not a Micah at all. Neither is it a Elijah. You say, well, who is it? It's a Balaam. God said, Balaam, don't preach against my people. Don't prophesy against my people. Nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. They want to be a Balaam. Always trying to tear down what God's doing. But Christian friend, don't be afraid. Don't get discouraged. Hallelujah. When the winds of trouble assail, when things begin to come your way, when you have problems, when you can't pay your bills, when everything's going wrong, don't start thinking in that direction. If you do, you're defeated already. Stand there. Say, glory to God, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Say, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm going broke. No. No. Say, glory to God, it's already happened. At Calvary it happened. I've got everything that pertains to godliness. God gave it to me. I'm a prince. I'm a son of God. All of my needs are met according to his riches and glory. We're going over. Over. Hallelujah. Somebody say over. We're going over. Amen. Glory to God. I remember a man that inspired me many years ago. I was but a youth. And I went to this meeting. I saw a lot of nice looking fellas. A lot of fine looking ladies. Everything was plush with carpet. And then I saw a fellow, he didn't look too good. He didn't look like he was much. He was bald, he didn't have any hair. Wasn't even doing as good as I am and combing some over to cover up the bald spot. And he was up there and was fixing to go into Africa somewhere. There he stood amidst all of them. Man, back then, to go to Africa to me was to go to the end of the world. He stood up there. All of a sudden he began to sing. My, he could sing like a mockingbird. Then he began to testify. He said, I'm going to the mission fields. He said, folks, I'm not going under. I'm going over. There was something behind what he said that inspired me. I could tell he believed every word he was saying. I could tell something had a hold to him down there that he really was going over. I'm going over. I'm going to do a job for God. That's the way it ought to be. Don't stand around and say, well, if the Lord's will, I'm going to do this. And the Lord's will, I'm going to do that. I know the Bible says that. The Bible said, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this and we'll do that. I know that. And if it's the Lord's will, we will. And if it ain't the Lord's will, we won't. But my brother, when God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, don't you go around saying, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You find out whether or not you're preaching to begin with, whether or not God called you, and say, by faith in God, I'll preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. Don't give place for doubt. Don't give any place for doubt. If you do, you're in trouble. Don't give any place for doubt. Just stand there. The troubles come up. You don't have the money. Don't give up. Do like Elijah. See? Go in there and say, well, you ready to go? Call that wife if you got one. Say, you ready to go? She said, well, how are we going? They ain't got nothing to do with it. Come on now. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Come on. Somebody said, my boy, how could you ever have faith like that? You want me to tell you how I can do it? Wait till your wife starts expecting. You got to get her to the hospital and ain't got to die. My, how you'll find a way. That's right. Somebody said, now wait a minute. Let's reason this thing out. You don't have any money. You say, just get out of my way. Where's the hospital? You see what I'm saying? That's the way it should be with God. Hallelujah. I'm expecting. What are you expecting? To do something for God? Hallelujah. Pressing through to do something for Jesus. Hallelujah. Great things. It's going to happen. We should stand like a rock, children of God. Take courage in the Lord. When the thing don't come to pass to begin with, just keep on praying. If it don't come to pass, keep on praying. If it don't come to pass, keep on praying. And if it don't come to pass, keep on praying. Don't stop. Just keep on praying. You say, but Brother Pike, we prayed all that time and didn't come pass. What's wrong? You're just building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Just keep on, because your faith is building up. Your faith is building up, and after a while, you're going to get an explosion. Is that right? You're going to get an explosion. Let me say just a few words here, and I'm going to close. It's like my little Danny and Joe. They really observe things. They was telling me today, say, Daddy, Joe was saying, amen, amen. I said, I thought that was wonderful, you know. He said, but Daddy said, you said, I'll do less than anybody. He said, Joe said, amen. I said, well, maybe he believes that. At least he said amen. Can you say amen? All right. You know, scientists works with atomic power. They've learned, brought out a few thoughts on this the other night, they've learned that there is a great hidden potential that is in the nucleus of an atom. And they've learned that these atoms are in everything. I say, what do you mean by that? I mean that I've got potentials, you got potentials. There's a God potential in every person. And they've learned that all they've got to do is open these atoms or split these atoms, and they can get a terrific explosion out of it. But they don't desire to do that. They want to make atoms to where they will be useful for people, to where they can turn it into nuclear power and sources of energy for the good of humanity rather than for the bad. But see, the devil is working that old carnal mind. Working that old carnal mind, isn't that right? One preaches up, he's trying to do good for God's people. Build something for God's people in the kingdom of God. Here's another fellow over here in another place. He's trying to build him a kingdom. Thinking about that nuclear power now, speaking typically. That nuclear power, how he can maneuver that thing and get control of the world and be a big wheel in the world. Another one's over here with the mind of God, a real science. Trying his best to develop something to be good for the people. They have learned that they can take the atoms, fuse them, or split them. If they separate the neutrons, then it's called fission. If they put light atoms together, it's called fusion. They call it the latent heat of fusion. That is the hidden heat that's released to bring it to a certain level, to where it would turn a solid substance or a form of matter that is potentially filled with energy, that substance or element, into kinetic energy. Release it. Turn it loose. Get it into motion. Because there's energy on the inside. They've got what they call the low level of light. Like these lights up here. This is referred to as a low level of light. Take a neon light. That's a low level of light. Low level of combustion. They've learned that they can take two atoms, let the atoms come together. If the electrons meet, now remember, in the nucleus of the atom, there is the neutrons and the protons. And around that is the electrons that's whirling around, round and around, like a satellite in orbit. They've learned that if they bring these atoms together and these electrons, that is the ones that's whirling around outside, if they meet, then something begins to happen. Fire begins to come up like coal or some kind of fuel. There's a combustion. There's fire. It releases energy by them coming together. And they've learned that if they dislocate that electron, when it's dislocated, it struggles to get back into its orbit. As it struggles to get back, as it goes whirling back, it gives off light, which is our form of lesser light. That is atomic power. Those electrons are atomic power. A lot of times we use the terms atomic bomb, but that's not a good terminology, because atomic power is used in a low level of lighting, and it's used for fuel purposes. Atomic power is. But when you think about the great combustion of the bombs, don't think of it as atomic power or atom power, but think of it as nuclear power. Because those whirling electrons is not what's mating together. But they swell those things out of propulsion by heat, move that electron, set it off its course, go in between that. And when they do, they separate those neutrons from the protons. They hug close together like that. When they separate those things, they get down there, and when they start pulling the atoms apart, that's what you call splitting the atoms. There is a molecule, there is atoms within it, and there are electrons, protons, neutrons. They give off little rays, like they call one an alpha ray, one a beta ray, one a gamma ray. According to the alphabets of the Greek alphabets, they name them. See, when we think of splitting an atom, we think of splitting the electrons. But that's not what they do. They split the atom by separating the electrons. And when they do, they got power. One bomb, just one bomb, weighing 1 ton, if it's a nuclear, has more power or as much power as equal to 10,000 tons of TNT. Just think, messing with just a little bit of that nucleus. You understand what I'm saying? I said that to say this. A man is pretty much like an atom. Did you know that? Look back at Calvary. Take Jesus hanging there at Calvary, hanging on the cross. There, God split the atoms. Do you agree? The first man Adam and the second man Adam, hugging close together. One of them was a negative, one of them was a positive. The Christ and the Jesus. You see it? Then God split the atoms. It's like scientists, they take their cyclotron, they pull a neutron out, they get it whirling in that cyclotron, they set up their target, move that little electron, and they hit the target right down to the teeth, separating them. They move one of those electrons out, they can change a hydrogen gas to a helium gas by rearranging the electrons. You follow me? I wish we had time to go into it tonight and break it down. But anyway, there was Jesus. See, that was the head of the body. We're members in particular. I'm a member. You're Adam. I'm an Adam. You're an Adam. We're Adam. All members of the body. Just little molecules of the body. And there's that great principal power that great head, Jesus, over there. See the atoms hugging together. They're hugging close together. I'm negative in one part of me and I'm positive in another part. Is that right? You say, Brother Pike, you couldn't be negative and then positive, but I am. Did you know I'm dead to the world by the body of Jesus? Have you dead to the world? By the body of Jesus, I'm dead to the world. My negative part, this outside fellow, he's negative. You understand what I'm saying? Negative. Praise God, he's dead, separated. On the inside, there's a positive. That Christ within me, the hope of glory. That's a positive thing. Hallelujah. There's no hypothesis in that. No theology in that. That's a definite thing. And I'm compact together with Christ. And my little part of me on the inside is like a neutron. It's neutral. But it's locked up with that positive laying right in there. You understand what I'm saying? God took Jesus, hang him at the cross. You know, they say the first man that ever split an atom was a 19 and 19. But the first time an atom was ever split was at Calvary. Did you know that? God rent the veil. Amen. Folded up the old Adam and laid him away. Brought up the positive. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus hanging at Calvary. God the great consuming fire coming down. The latent heat of fusion. That hidden fire. That hidden greatness of God. That hidden heat. Latent heat of fusion. The hidden heat. Here come that heat down. That fire. That consuming fire. Closer and closer. Getting closer to the Son of God. All of a sudden, that latent heat, according to science, as it gets close to an object, something happens. Like the hot sun, the wind, hot, air, hot, begins to blow, hits that cold winter pane. All of a sudden, that cold winter pane begins to melt down little drops. Melt down little drops. You see what I'm talking about? Latent heat of fusion, it begins to give off its little drops. The first thing, changing it from a cake of ice over into a liquid. Then after a while, the latent heat of fusion is lifted a little more. She changes from the drops of water and the liquid into gases. In other words, we go from one stage to another stage, to another stage. First Egypt, then the wilderness, then over the Jordan into Canaan land. First, it's the body, and God deals with the body. And God gets us out of Egypt, that old negative part. Then God begins to deal with the soul. That second part of us, God begins to deal with the soul. The first news you know, we've done left the soul, this old potential part of us. You know, we're potentially God. How many of you know that? Made in the image of God, we're potentially God. But see, that's no good if we're potentially God. But when that great power of fire, the Holy Ghost in fire, when the fire begins to get close to us, that hidden heat, that latent heat of fusion gets there, we begin to change. Begin to change. As God, the consuming fire, got closer to Jesus, he began to change. He began to change. Take on the change. All of a sudden, rising hotter and greater. The Bible said we're killed like a lamb all the day long. We're smitten, used as a lamb to slaughter. That heat coming closer, killed as a lamb for the sake of this world. And it gets hotter. It gets greater. Finally, we begin to scream out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? See, and he goes, we're doing everything we can. God, we're doing everything we can, but the load's getting heavier and heavier. Getting heavier. Down come the crushing powers. But see, God's changing us. Have you understand what I'm saying? Take faith, take courage. God's changing us. You know, like the song says, the hammer and red heat is what makes the steel strong. Come down, it gets closer. I begin to melt down. Melt down. Jesus hanging at Calvary, begin to melt down. Begin to melt down. All of a sudden, it's more than I could take. We yield up the Spirit. Whew. Glory to God. The Bible said it. And they that have ceased from their own works, getting out of that old body now, going by faith. The Jews said, we've done it by this and we've done it by that, and we fast this way and we fast that way. But after a while, the load gets so heavy, just say, can't take it no more. Can't take it no more. I believe. I believe. Just keep on believing. Keep on believing. See, the load gets heavier. Don't give up and say, my God, I got to leave this thing. Say, I can't take it longer. Can't. I believe. I believe in your strength, Lord. I believe in your power, Lord. It's getting heavier. Getting heavier. Being crushed. But after a while, you're dead. You don't have any more trouble. You don't have any more trouble. Finally, you made that change. You just kept believing and kept believing till that old natural life was crushed out, and with that went the devil. Out went Lucifer. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You've defeated that old blood life, that old red dragon. You've whipped him. Pressed the life out. Finally, he's gone out of the members of your body. Paul said, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Stained from fleshly lust, it warreth against the soul. Consider yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. There we're dead, gone to Calvary. Dead, but by faith we made that change. We've entered into his rest. We're not worried anymore because we're believing. We're not trying to work our way anymore. We've entered into the rest of God. And we're believing, my brother. Believing. You follow me? We've made that change. Come over the hill. We're in the peace of God, in the rest of God. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All of a sudden, the veil was rent. It reached the place like water, 212 Fahrenheit, gets up there, and it changes over to that hydrogen gas, oxygen gas, changes over. She begins to change. You understand what I'm saying? Separating. I brought out the other night the way they separate those gases, separating the elements, moving out sin, keeping the good elements, coming to that place of change, and finally coming over the first hurdle. We get away from this old body, put it behind us, put it behind us. But see, then after that, we're in the soul realm. We got to work our way on, not through yet. Work our way on. Egypt's behind us, done crossed the Red Sea, got over the blood. Isn't that right? That old blood life. But we're out there in the wilderness. Hadn't got into Canaan yet. We're caught between that blood life, having left it behind, the garlic and the onions, caught between that and that old carnal mind, which is Jordan over here. Got in between, and the devils and demons are just warring with us. Warring with us. You know, the devil say, look at your brother-in-law over yonder. Look what he's got. Nice new car. You ain't got nothing. Look at the money he's got in the bank over there. You ain't got nothing. But you just keep on persevering. Persevering. Persevere, keep pushing along, you know, godly perseverance, keep driving. Say, but Jesus said it, I believe it's got to come to pass. Finally, just keep going right on down through the wilderness. Right on down through the wilderness. Don't mumble against the ministry. Just take the laws of God. Keep on going. After a while, the pressure on that rim gets greater. Gets greater. Serpents, problems, heartaches, woes gets greater. But you just say, whew, I believe. Getting tired and weary. Been here 40 years, but I believe. I believe. I believe. Abraham said it's been a long time since the promise. But I still believe. Hallelujah. I believe. Just keep on believing. After a while, that old carnal mind can't take it any longer. She just blows up on you. You know what happens? You make that change over into the mind of Christ. Somebody said, oh, he's crazy. He said, Paul, you done got beside yourself. Brother Pike, you and people out of Bethlehem, you done gone crazy. Say, nah, we're in the mind of Christ. We done made that change. See, we come from that solid over that liquid. Now we come from that liquid over that gas. You know what I'm fixing to do? Put gas in a balloon, see what happens to it. Up we go. Oh, we start rising. Start rising up into the heavenlies then. Whew, at last. Getting that rest, getting up there is peace now. The struggle and the strain like the big jet, she's puffed and up, but she's got up there and she lets off on the big engines now. And she's beginning to just glide along. Up above the clouds, she's fought her way through. Up above the clouds, a big spaceship, fight their way through at 25,000 miles per hour, 7,000 miles per second, fighting their way through that gravitation. They get out in space and they're just floating along. They got it made then. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we're doing. God brought the pressure on Jesus until that atom was split, just split up. The neutrons went one way and the protons went another way and the electrons went another way. That Jew which was negative went into the earth. That was the body. God separated the people into three parts. And that Catholic, which is that part that's always neutral, that blood rim down there. You can't get them to go anyway. Always sitting on the fence, you know, neither hot nor cold, just lukewarm. God said, I'll spill you out of my mouth. That old blood rim, that soul went down into hell, went down into the flames of the fire. But that positive proton got speeded up. You know what I'm saying? Got speeded up. The more speeded up, the faster it got. And after a while, the saints of God, the positive side of it, said, and away they went to glory. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike. I'm expecting that to happen any time. That's good. I'll be up here in glory waiting for you. Amen. I hope it happens to you. I'll be up here waiting for you. Praise God. The Bible said, I pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. I'll never come into condemnation. God has hid me with Christ in the heavens. I'm hid in the heavens. I pass from death unto life. I've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God by faith. Hallelujah. God has taken me up into those rims up there. God split that atom. He just split my atom just like he rent the veil of Jesus. He split it, separated that part that was giving me trouble from that other part. Separated it and called that power to come in it. That great light, that great exceeding light, so bright that nobody can't look upon it. And it transformed my image like it did Jesus standing on the mountain up there. Transformed that image and speeded up that God life on the inside of me. Them protons of that mind of Christ, them thoughts of Christ, beating them up, hallelujah. Made them things quickening. Paul said it's the quickening that counts. It's the quickening. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Speeded him up. Hallelujah. Today I'm just sailing along. Entered into the rest of God. Entered into the rest of God. The Bible said, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. What is that rest? Having been translated into the kingdom of God. Getting into the kingdom of God. Don't have to worry anymore. Right there in the kingdom of God. Just gliding along in the kingdom of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Up here in the heavenlies where it's so peaceful. Praise God. Praise God. And this is like heaven to me. I've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. I'm up in heaven, you see. Hallelujah. You want to stand with me? Old Elijah had perseverance. He just said, I believe. The pressure's got great. He said, I believe. I believe. And after a while, the rain come. God ignited that fiery chariot and off to glory he went. Is there any water? Somebody said, now I'm not excited, Brother Pike. I am. You ought to come up here where I'm at. It's exciting up here. You know, God can't speed up. He can't speed up those little particles of light in you. Some of you don't have them. Did you know that? Some of you don't have them. You won't let God do anything for you. But see, you get these little things in your mind and in your heart. Get the thoughts of Jesus in there. These are positive, folks. How do you agree that these are positive? Nothing negative about these things. These things are positive. And all you got to do is turn them into energy. You know, inertia, just turn them into energy. That's all you got to do. You know, you turn your spirit, your thoughts into energy. That's right. It'll give off God. It'll give off manpower. Isn't that right? Turn the devil's thoughts into energy. It'll give off devil power. It'll give off angelic power, which is a great power. But I tell you what. You take them positive ones. You take Christ's thoughts and you turn them into energy and they give off the Holy Ghost. They give off that heavenly energy. That heavenly energy. And I tell you, it does something to you. It does something to you. Hallelujah. You get you all fixed up. And after a while, you leave this earth. You leave this earth. You find that you're an astronaut and didn't even know it. Jesus is sitting in the driver's seat. He's the brilliance. He's handling every bit of it. You just lay back, ride. Everything's all right. How do you agree everything's all right? I get on one of them big jet liners. I ain't worried about what that pilot's doing. If I didn't have confidence he knew what he's doing, I wouldn't get on there to start with. But I figured that fellow's done had plenty of experience, you know, and he's going to get me to where I'm going. So I just get on there, you know, and I pray a little prayer. And I say something like this. I say, Jesus, I love you. Appreciate you, Jesus. Lord, I'm going to Israel. I will make it in Jesus' name. Everything will be all right in Jesus' name. And after a while, they say, approaching Israel, say, everything's all right. You love Jesus? Talk about being positive now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Paul, you know when he spoke, did you notice how he spoke? He didn't say, well, I've done the best I can. I've finished my course. Boy, it's been rough. I sure hope he won't turn me away when I get there. Lord, I've done my best. I know you're a good God. I feel like you at least give me a chance. He didn't do that, did he? He said, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. Hallelujah. From henceforth, there is a crown laid up for me. And somebody said, uh-huh, Paul, you puffed up. What if you get there and then you don't get it? They wasn't no don't get it. Do it. Paul done got the revelation. He knowed he was already in the kingdom. There's a crown of righteousness and life laid up for me. I'll receive it. And he said, not only me, but everyone that does the will of God. There's a crown of life. Your soul will be crowned with life. Eternal living. There's a crown of life. You'll have jewels in that crown of living. Every jewel you've ever gathered. When I make up my jewels, every person you ever turn to God, they'll flicker. Be radiant as you go down through the eternities. In that crown of living, you'll look and one will flash like the noonday sun. You'll say, that's a jewel in my crown. I brought that one up here. You follow me? You convert a man, you know that you saved a soul from hell. I like to be rich, wouldn't you, Brother Fontaine? Just have jewels and jewels and jewels. Hallelujah. All right, so it's exciting. Somebody said, I want to go to the races. That's old-fashioned. Go-kart, that's old-fashioned. All that's out of date. All that's out of style. Dances, hollering, screaming, rock and roll. All that's out of date. Let's do something exciting. Let's live for Jesus. All that will be folded up like a garment and laid away. Rot and the stench will come up. But folks, what I'm talking about is exciting. You wait till you see the spark of eternal living. The brilliance of eternal riches. The glory of the youth of your strength as the sun shines within it. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. We sing this chorus real often. They that wait upon the Lord. I like that little chorus. God likens his people to eagles. They say that eagles have the power to renew their youth in a sense. They renew their strength ever so often. And you know, a child of God's like that. Now you think with me for just a moment. A child of God will go, and they'll press themselves to the limit. Finally, they're just ready to go down in despair. They say, I can't make it anymore. I'm so weary. The husband will say to the wife, you know, honey, it seems like I can't go anymore. The wife will say to the husband, skin's a... heavy, you know, maybe a tear trickled down the cheeks. I just can't seem to make it anymore. Then he'll rear back in God and he'll spread them big wings of Christ. Glory to God. Then he feels strong. Say, you know, my God said, I feel like I'm starting all over again. Ready to go. Hallelujah. That great eagle, she'll spread out them wings and she'll give a scream. Scream a loud scream, you know. And off she'll go. Hallelujah. Don't you feel that? Just spread them out. Spread them out. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Spread them out and scream in God. Go right on out there. You can do it. You can do it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk can never find. Just teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Hallelujah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. You know, the Bible teaches that we're under tutors until the time of the adoption, waiting for the redemption of the body. But you know, when a dad passes on, he leaves the children some money. They're not eligible for it until they come into the manhood and womanhood. But you know, if things get severe and they go through the right source, I've seen this happen a number of times, they can draw some of that money to help them along. Did you know that? And that's the way it is with us. Sometimes the crisis get great. We feel like, Lord, we just done used up all of our substance. You know, but then the Heavenly Father, He'll look down and He'll say, son, I tell you the sauce to go through. You get a little bit along the way, like Ruth, drop a little handful on purpose till you come into your inheritance. See, and He'll give us a little of that strength. Draw a little of that strength. And sure enough, you begin to grow stronger. Begin to grow greater. See, we've got an eternal source we're drawing off of. Like the little fish in the ocean. Don't be afraid to take a drink. There's plenty of it. See, we're drawing. It's an eternal source. Some of us are afraid it'll give out. You know, if I was drawing on the source of my own doings, on the source of my own ability and righteousness and what I've done, I'd quit. God, there'd be none give out. But I'm drawing on the source of Jesus Christ. And He's heir to the glory of God. Everything belongs to Him. I'm drawing off of His source tonight. Hallelujah. And I draw all that source and I get strong and healthy in God. And I keep going on. Every time I feel defeated in any way, I just raise my faith in God. And that defeat begins to come in. And I feel that defeat coming in. I just raise my faith in God and draw for His sources. I begin to breathe in the breath of that eternal living. And I say, I'm a son of God. There's no end to me. I'm made to live forever. There's no defeat with me. My victory is forever. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Have faith, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, Jesus said. Draw for my source tonight. I've overcome the world for you. Have faith and be strong in the power of my might tonight. Draw for that eternal source. Can you do it? Will you do it? Will you dare to lift your faith up and not think those negative thoughts tonight? Think in Christ tonight. Think His way tonight. Reason with Him tonight. Use your faith every moment, every second, every hour. Don't ever let your faith go. Are you believing go in any direction except a positive way of life? That God said it, I believe it. It's yea and amen, it will come to pass. My dear God, if you'll do that, folks, you'll see things like you've never seen in your life. More and more and more. More and more. We get so defeated, we just say, well, I don't think it could happen. And we lose such great things. Cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense and reward. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hallelujah. Hold on to it. God's got something for you. Let's sing this little chorus, We'll Overcome. If you got just two or three more minutes, I'm going to let you go. Just two or three more minutes, I'm going to let you go. You said, now, Brother Pike, you stand up and just drinking that water down. You can afford to stay longer. I told you I was drawing off that sauce. See, some of you out there just looking in admiration. Man, I wish I had a glass of that water. I said, it's going to be in hell. Isn't that right? Ain't you glad you ain't there? You can go get a good glass of water. So we're going to dismiss in a few minutes. You can ease out and go down to the restroom and get you a good glass of water. See, but them that are cut off from God forever will be looking across the great gulf. Across the great gulf. Okay, let's sing this little chorus. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, things gonna be all right. Oh, let us praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us love